Ezra actually speaks of Zechariah. In Ezra chapter 5, we read, "Now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Iddo, prophesy to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were there with them, supporting them." So the exiles had returned. They'd done the foundations of the temple, but they had got very demoralized, and they came under attack, and all the rebuilding stopped. Haggai and Zechariah both came to encourage that rebuilding to start again. Haggai's ministry lasted about 4 months, and Zechariah took over from him. We've just looked at what is termed the third vision out of the eight. And in a way, that just enlarges our vision of God, who is with us and does more than all we ask or think. We have a great God. And these words from Ephesians chapter 3 just remind you of that. Now, there is a lot in Zechariah. The beginning of the book is where you find these eight visions. The next vision that we're going to look at, which I think is vision... Yeah, it is the fourth vision, contains a verse that was very, very precious to John Wesley, the Methodist preacher, and Susanna Wesley, his mum. And it's actually all because of a fire. Now, sadly, we've heard an awful lot about fires in the news recently, and many have been tragic. This fire was nearly tragic. When John was 4, the family home caught fire, and all the family got out except for John. John Wesley recalls yelling for help, going to the door, but the flames stopped his exit. He went to a window where, as he said, one in the yard saw me. With no time to fetch a ladder, a couple of quick-thinking neighbours did the next best thing. One stood on the other's shoulders and pulled John out through the window just as the roof fell into his room. And from then on, Susanna referred to John as a brand plucked from the burning, which is a reference to Zechariah 3, verse 2, which says,
"Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?"
It's actually a quote from another prophet. It's a quote from Amos. It was probably a well-known saying at the time. We have sayings that we mention and repeat. That was probably one of theirs. But Susanna Wesley believed that John had been saved for a reason. And that was a lesson that John went through life with. He considered himself as a burning brand snatched from the fire. And he put it down to two crucial events in his life. One was the fire, and the other was actually his eternal salvation. Because he looked on it that he was snatched from the flames of hell when he was actually heading towards loss of body and soul. He has been saved through faith in God. He was snatched from those fires. So he saw it in two ways. There is a lot in Zechariah. There's a lot packed in. And I should think some of that you thought, oh, that's pointing to Jesus. Or what's that about? We're in a court scene here. God, the judge, becomes God, the justifier in this vision. Joshua, the high priest, is standing there in filthy clothes. Clothes which show his sin, and actually as high priest, they reflect the sin of the people as well. So there's two things going on there. The message here was for Joshua, but we're not told why. We're not told why Joshua needed those words. Possibly discouragement. Perhaps his leadership was under attack. Perhaps people were running him down. We don't know. There's all sorts of things that could have been going on. the people themselves. Actually, they'd returned probably feeling really good to have gone back to their land. They'd got the foundations, and then they'd stopped. They couldn't get any further. They must have felt pretty hopeless and pretty discouraged. They may even have said, why is God going to accept us now? There would have been a sense of guilt that they hadn't done what they had been sent back to. Satan is in there. Satan just means an accuser. It's not a name. Satan, the accuser, his aim is to stop them. His aim is to stop us now too. He reminds us of our sins. You're not good enough. Or words to that effect. Or what about that conversation? Comes to accuse. He tells us how unworthy we are. Well, to be honest, if we thought we were worthy and stuff, we would have trouble accepting all that Jesus has done on the cross for us. But he loads us with guilt. He makes us feel useless. But it's God who justifies us. God who says no to Satan. And because of Jesus dying for us, we can turn to God and know his forgiveness and know his love. The judge becomes the justifier. God rebukes Satan and God has the last say. Hallelujah. God cleanses Joshua's sin and he renews Joshua's call to his service. Reminds us of a passage in Romans, which we do well to remember.
In Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies.
Now we'll sing about that in just a moment. Just one thing. Did you hear the mention of the stone in the passage? That's one thing that people look at in two ways, because it can mean two different things. When they talk about the eyes on it, and what the stone actually is for. The stone could represent the foundation stone for the temple, or it could represent the precious stone, or has echoes of the golden plate that they used to put on the high priest's turban, which was inscribed as holy to the Lord. There's different things around it. But the seven eyes, seven is an important number. How many different sevens can you think of in the Bible? Hundreds of sevens. I like it. You know, how many days for the creation?
Seven.
Six and a day off. All right. But seven, it was complete. You know, how many times should I forgive my brother? Or sister, I suppose. Yeah, the seven is coming in again. It's the completeness, and that's the symbol of it. Seven eyes, seven is completeness. God is all-seeing. Though actually, the eyes bit could mean springs of water. So there's a rather nice thing. There's God is all-seeing, but springs of water, God is blessing. And there's two images going on there, which I like. The vision points to the branch as well. It talked about the branch coming. The branch is Jesus. And Joshua, as you probably know, means God saves. And in Greek, is the name Jesus. So this passage is not only an encouragement again to the people there, it also points to the future. It points to the atoning sacrifice on the cross, which is the basis of God forgiving us. So as the next song puts it, we are reconciled, justified, and that should bring us to praise God. So it reminds us that God is with us, and God justifies us. So one more passage. I'm sorry the passages tend to be very long, but you don't get the flavour of the full thing if they're a bit shortened. Slight different words, which I'll come to in a minute. There's one key word there, which I've got as a different word here. Again, different ways of looking at things. The lampstand, it was signifying, that, if you like, the witness of the temple and the Jewish community to God. The one in the temple was huge, yes, and it had all the branches going up and one in the middle. And in the instructions of the tabernacle in the desert, it was to be lit early evening through till morning. So a light was constantly there pointing to God. The lamps were lit with the oil that came from the olive trees. Now, oil for us is often a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And you have here God's power enabling Zerubbabel to accomplish what he'd been called to do. Zerubbabel is the governor, is the sort of king figure of that area. Joshua the high priest, Zerubbabel was the governor. And between them, they were working together to accomplish what they'd been called to do. Did you notice that phrase? It must have rung a bell. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And that is quoted. And it's here in the book of Zechariah. The olive trees, well, they may signify Moses and Elijah. Again, there's differing views. It may be Joshua and Zerubbabel, who are anointed to serve the Lord. Moses and Elijah, for that matter, were anointed to serve the Lord. But anointed to serve the Lord, it's to do with oil again. Oil that is provided by God through the olive trees. And through Joshua and Zerubbabel, God provides the oil for the lampstand of the nation, if you take the metaphor on. So if you've got the two olive trees providing the oil for the lamp, Joshua and Zerubbabel were providing God's power, God's input for the nation. Anointed, they are anointed, means literally they were sons of oil, or those who bring oil, which is a lovely way of putting that. The high priest and the king, they work together. Now hang on a minute, high priest and king, that's actually pointing to Jesus again, because Jesus combines those two functions. God chooses to work through us. God chooses to work through Zerubbabel here and Joshua, and he's working through Zechariah. God works through people. And I love that phrase of don't despise the day of small beginnings. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel I'm doing very much. But even the little I have, God can use. And all you have to do is think about the 5 loaves and 2 fish. That wasn't much for 5,000, but God used it. And don't despise the day of small beginnings. And that's a word to those who thought the work on the temple was feeble. We're not going to get anywhere. We've only got the foundations. We're not going to build the whole thing. Now, interestingly, in the reading we had up on the screen, it said plumb line. I have got the word here as capstone. And I'm going to stick to capstone because it's talking about Zerubbabel being there when the first stone was laid, and he'll be there when the capstone finished, which is the final stone that goes in at the end of building the temple. So it signifies in he's there for the whole thing. So it's not a case of, well, you'll see the temple built one day. It may be in your children's, it may be in your grandchildren's day. No, you'll see it because the governor is going to put the capstone on. It's coming and it's not holding off. So you've got all sorts of things coming out here. It's got implications about Jesus and about us being the light to the world. But did you notice the 7 eyes mentioned again? It was there somewhere. I can't see it now. Who dares despise the day of small things, since the 7 eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. So, 7 eyes of God, again, it's either that God is all-seeing, and sees everything completely, or it's the idea of the blessing going out to the ends of the earth. And I think there's both things going on. And we are called to be anointed now to take God's blessing out to the world, for God to work through us, where he puts us, as he wants to use us. You know, there's a sense we're not, there's no way that we can be at the same level as Zechariah in those days, because they were different days. But God has anointed each one of us. We can be sons and daughters of oil. Those who bring oil, who allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. And that's exciting. God is with us. Vision 3. Fourth vision, God justifies us. Fifth vision, God uses us to bring the oil of blessing to those around, in his church and outside his church. And God has got purposes for each of us. It may not be in the building of the temple, but we are building his church here and building his kingdom with him in his way.